the mysteries behind historical artifacts. I'm going to continue with some of these stories today because so many times we find something from our past and it ends up pretty and cleaned up and in a museum. But what about all the dark stories that happened before these artifacts were even left behind? Sometimes it's not so nice. Sometimes it's not just a family that was all organized in their house and made all these homemade pots and pans and hung different things and used these kinds of things for shoes and clothing. Sometimes there's a dark story behind it all. We're going to talk more about that today. Before we get started today, I just want to give you a quick reminder that we have two channels, A Stranger World Than Fiction, and we also have They Call Me the Ghost. A Stranger World Than Fiction, where we talk about all things strange. It's really a conversation. Secondly, we have They Call Me the Ghost, and that is where I, the ghost, share a lot of my on-the-job experiences, real and outrageous jobs that actually do happen. And don't forget to check out our podcast, also A Stranger World Than Fiction and They Call Me the Ghost. So if you are into all things strange, outrageous, crazy, and mysterious, and you like them in story format, that's what we do here, and you're in the right place. All right, let's get on with these disturbing historical artifacts. How about a skull tower with a deadly message? Check this thing out. In 1809, Serbians fought to protect their homeland from Ottoman invaders. But when the Serbians realized that victory was impossible, they took on a suicide mission. If you can believe that. Serbian commander Stevan Sindelic shot at a gunpowder room, causing a massive explosion that would end up killing not hundreds, thousands. The Ottomans, enraged at the rebel resistance, decided to create a monument so terrifying that it would stamp out future rebellions. Yeah, they didn't want that to happen again. So after murdering hundreds of Serbians, they built this skull tower. It stands about 15 feet tall, and it once contained the skulls of 952 Serbian fighters, with skulls at the top. Though most of the skulls were later removed by their grieving families, there are still 59 skulls that remain to this day, but you can picture how full this would have been. It would have been quite a sight. As gruesome as the display was, Sindelic and his troops had sacrificed themselves for this reason. They didn't want the Ottomans to torture Serbians to give up information about the rebellion, so the frustrated Ottomans decide to mutilate the bodies of their fallen enemies. After decapitating the soldiers, they peeled off their skin and stuffed their bodies with straw. Then they turned to the rebel skulls and they turned them into this horrific monument that will still shock any visitor today. And it would, wouldn't it? Rows upon rows of skulls stare down from the tower. And this tower stretches, it's 13 feet wide, with the monument sitting at the main entrance to the city. No one can miss this ominous message. If the Serbs continued to resist Ottoman rule, they would join these people. They would join the dead rebels. And I don't know about you guys, but that definitely doesn't sound like a good time. Even after this tower did not stop the war for independence, after years of warfare and multiple rebellions, the Serbians were finally able to win independence in 1835. Was it worth it? You tell me. How about the Orkney Hood, history's creepiest headwear? Yeah, that does look kind of creepy. What did Scottish people wear 1700 years ago? If the Orkney Hood is any indication, fashion was probably in a very dark place. Discovered in 1867, the Orkney Hood is believed to be the oldest sample of textiles in Scottish history. The fringed cloak dates back to about 250 AD to 600 AD-ish, and it remains eerily well-preserved despite its age. Since the cloak was originally found in a peat bog, experts believe that it was the conditions that allowed the garment to survive for so long. Thanks to a lack of oxygen, the hood looks remarkably new and essentially free of decay. That's hard to find. However, research continues to have a debate over the full story behind this hood. Seems simple enough, but they're not sure whether the cloak was lost in the peat bog or deliberately placed there. It's also unclear who owned this hood. The hood holds other secrets, too. When experimental archaeologist Jackie Wood tried to replicate it, she discovered that four people had worked together to make this one garment. That level of quality points to one conclusion. This was a very wealthy person. It must have been worn centuries ago. Interestingly enough, though, the hood and the fringe were originally two separate garments. Wood speculates that a high-status person once wore this fringe, which was later repurposed to be worn by a child. From my own impressions, she says, a mother or father found a very nice quality piece of fabric and made it a hood for a child. Sounds simple enough. I'll take it. But let's flip over to the dark side for a minute. How about a Germanic lord's death cult? When archaeologists uncovered an ancient burial site in Germany, they found something unexpected. A burial complex belonging to a high-status Germanic lord who died 1,500 years ago. The unusual complex discovered contained the bodies of multiple animals, including horses, dogs, and cattle. Pieces of intricate gold and silver jewelry were also recovered at this scene. But investigators also found the bodies of six women, encircling a cauldron at the center of the tomb. Experts were soon left with many questions. Was the cauldron part of an ancient ritual? Did the ceremony involve magic somehow? And why did the Germanic lord's tomb contain so many bodies in the first place? Some believe that the women may have been sacrificed, but others think they may have been part of an ancient death cult that was determined to join the Lord in the afterlife. Either way, researchers continue to investigate their cause of death, hoping for more clues to solve the mystery. Ironically enough, the only thing missing from the tomb is the one thing that you would have expected to find there. They say, "We have not found the prince himself yet," says archaeologist Suzanne Frederick. But maybe his ashes are in the bronze cauldron. As many as 60 other graves surround this tomb, which indicates that it was a site of significant importance centuries ago. Does this pique your curiosity? It does mine. I want to know exactly what was going on back then. Who were all these people? But then again, history fascinates me. Even though we think we know everything, there's always more to find. As for this one, it was found accidentally. It was stumbled on when a construction crew was digging out a chicken farm in the area. They were doing nothing that had to do with trying to find things like this. So they did find this one, but there's no saying how many other buried cauldrons there are that exist in Germany. Well, how about this one? The ominous stones, warning of death. What does that mean, you're asking? Well, centuries ago in the Czech Republic, people came up with an unusual way to warn each other of upcoming droughts and famines. They didn't really have the news back then, so they took to rocks. When the water level dropped, people marked boulders along the Elbe River. The stones, which were only visible during the droughts, became known as hunger stones. These ominous signs warned people in the area of a bad harvest, a food shortage, and a major crisis that was surely on its way. Once the Elbe dropped enough to reveal the stones, people would have immense difficulty staving off the coming crisis. But the stones at least provided some warning that people would soon go hungry. Today, the hunger stones act as a record of previous droughts. In the 19th century, people etched the date into stones, things like 1800, 1811, and so on. But they existed long before the 1800s. The dates go as far back as 1417 and include dates in the 17th and 18th centuries as well. So this was a long-standing practice. Next to the dates, people wrote warnings about the upcoming crisis, some of which were pretty heartbreaking. One says, "When you see me, weep." In 2018, the creepy artifacts became visible once again during a long drought. The Elbe nearly reached the lowest level ever recorded, exposing the hunger stones. That's pretty creepy. And that's not the only thing Czechs found in the river. The recent drought also unearthed some more unsettling discoveries, bombs that were dropped during World War II that had never exploded. Kind of ironic, isn't it? All right, I'm going to leave you guys with this one. The oldest brain ever discovered. Now, when you think of old and ancient artifacts, would this come to your mind? Well, it's a real thing. In 2008, researchers found a decapitated skull dating back to the Iron Age near York, England. But then they discovered something even more surprising inside this skull. The man's brain was still in there. Archaeologist Rachel Cubitt recalls, "I peered through the hole at the base of the skull to investigate, and to my surprise, I saw a quantity of bright yellow spongy material. Experts didn't know it quite yet, but they had just discovered the world's oldest brain, dating back at least 2,600 years. As Cubitt put it, it was unlike anything I had ever seen before. I could only imagine. The fatty tissue that made up the brain rarely survives for long after a person dies. So how did this brain survive for over two millennia? Researchers believe that the man's head was buried almost instantly after it was killed, when clay-rich mud then encased the head, protecting the brain from any new oxygen. There it is again, guys, oxygen. It's our life and also a killer of our remains. But because this brain was protected, the organ didn't break down. But whose brain did the researchers even find? Experts don't know exactly who this man was while he was alive, but they do know that he lived in Britain. It was about 2,600 years ago during the Iron Age. He was about 26, but he could have been as old as 45 when he died. They're just not sure. And his death was quite violent. They do know that. He suffered a brutal neck wound right before someone cut his head off with a knife. This man's flesh eventually rotted, but the brain protected by the skull somehow escaped the decay. So even from the grave, this guy has something to say. What do you think of that? It's definitely not something that you hear about every day. Thank you for listening today, and until next time, and I will talk to you all soon.